Now my message for you this morning will be taken from one verse of Scripture. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up unto glory. Someone has called this the summary of true religion. This is true religion. This verse does not deal with trivial matters. It involves the loftiest, most glorious themes of thought. God was manifest in the flesh. And Paul says that's without controversy. No argument here. No debate. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, I know even people who do not believe this scripture have to admit, even if they don't believe this, even if they've never paid any attention to it, they have to admit that this is the greatest news, the most glorious news ever proclaimed. Or, this is the most amazing revelation, or this is the most astonishing, deceptive bit of news that man's ever heard. This is either the greatest thing that's ever been declared, and if it's not true, it's the worst deception that's ever been recorded or put forth to the public. No one can be undecided about this. God was manifest in the flesh. No one can be undecided. Paul is saying here that the Almighty God, holy Lord of heaven and earth, came down to this earth in the flesh, in the person of His only begotten Son, to die on a cross and reveal to us God's salvation for sinners. Do you know anything more profound than this? If you do, tell me what it is. This is the most profound statement that's ever been put forward. God was manifested in human flesh. My subject is the greatest one because it involves our eternal salvation. My salvation and yours. We have but one soul. I have a body, but it's dying. I have a body, but it's on the way to the grave. I have a body, but it'll return to the earth from which it came. But my soul either will live eternally in the presence of God, or be eternally separated from Almighty God. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And I want you to listen to me here. I've got something I want to say. In preaching the gospel, I'm not rattling the chains of denominationalism. The mystery of godliness is not a ceremony. The mystery of godliness is not baptism. The mystery of godliness is not drops of water. The mystery of godliness is not rules of conduct. There are some rules, but that's not what the mystery is. It is Almighty God in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. That's what I'm preaching. And I'm not setting dates. I'm not setting dates and times of prophecy. I don't know a whole lot about what's going to happen. I'm not trying to predict what's going to happen. But I sure am preaching what did happen. God, what did happen? God Almighty came to this earth in the flesh and died for His people. God Almighty came to this earth to die on a cross to redeem sinners. And this is not an exhibition of mere facts. I'm not up here to preach facts. I'm here to preach Christ. This is not an exhibition of theology. This message is alive. This message is a living hope. This message is a living truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is not cold logic and dead theology. This is living truth. When our Lord came to this earth in the flesh, God declared, this is what He declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And again He spoke from heaven and He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Pay attention. Listen to Him. Because, listen, I the Lord appointed Him to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I the Lord prepared Him a body and sent Him into the world. I the Lord made Him to be sin for His people. I the Lord sent Him to the cross. I the Lord smote Him. I the Lord bruised Him. And I the Lord left Him alone to die on that cross for His people. And I the Lord took Him down from that cross and laid Him in a tomb. But then I raised Him from the dead. I raised Him from the dead. And I exalted Him at my right hand. And I gave Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee, that means mine and yours and everybody in this cotton picking world, everybody, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, He is Lord, to the glory of God Almighty. Now write down these four words in your mind anyway. If Jesus Christ died for us, then we must have been hopelessly, helplessly lost. Without hope, without help, without God in this world, if He died for us. If Jesus Christ died for us, there sure is no other way to be saved. If Jesus Christ died for us, He must have loved us with an incredible, indescribable, unspeakable affection. He loved us and gave Himself for us. That's why. If He died for us, I'm asking all of us, would not such love and grace motivate us to love Him? Would not such love and grace motivate us to live for His glory and to serve Him and His people and church as long as we live? Oh, the love of Christ our Lord ought to motivate, constrain us, that if He died for us, we need to serve Him. Now let's look at this scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Word for word almost, phrase for phrase. Without controversy, debate, argument, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The manger in Bethlehem is the bed of the Lord God. Well might a multitude of angels surround that bed and cry, "Praise God, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill towards men." The carpenter shop in Nazareth is where he worked as a man. That's right. People walked by there, watched him work. He who made the worlds and put them in place made a chair and a table and a cabinet for the people of the town. This is Jesus, the carpenter. Yeah, that's who he is. But he's the Son of God. The cross at Calvary bears the human body of the incarnate God. Well might the sun refuse to shine when God died on the cross. He's the Son of God, and yet he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's my Savior. He walked the billows of an obedient sea, and yet he didn't own a foot of land. That's my Savior. He fed thousands, yet he sat on a well and asked a woman to give him a drink of water. That's my Savior. He cast out demons, and yet he himself was tempted of Satan. He was made of a woman, and yet he made her. In him was life, yet he died. I can't explain that. I just know it's so. In him was life, and yet he died. And the Roman centurion, as he watched the Lord Jesus down the cross, and he saw the earthquake and the darkness, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And he is. What's the second line here? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. What's that word justified mean? Vindicated. He was vindicated. All the claims of Christ and all the works of Christ have been vindicated of the Holy Spirit and proven to be true. All of them. The Scripture says, you know what Scripture says about a witness? The Scripture says, let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Don't take the word of one single voice. Every word must be proved and vindicated by two or three witnesses. That's the reason our Lord said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true either. If I have no other witness. But he has. Oh, he has. Two or three of the most outstanding. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This, you got it? 1 John 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth: Spirit, the water, the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God was manifest in the flesh and justified, vindicated, proven by the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's the third? Here in our text, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels at his birth. You know, a lot of things going on in religion today, buildings, telethons, all this sort of thing, but there's no witness from heaven that God's interested in any of it. There's no witness. There's no evidence. And yet, when our Lord came at his birth, the angels of God, the angels saw the heaven-born child in human flesh arrayed. The Son of God, the Son of Man, was in a manger laid. And angels cried, peace on earth, praise to God. Yet they stood amazed at such a birth. The angels gave witness who he is. And then in the wilderness of temptation, when he was tempted of the devil, God sent the angels to minister to him. At the tomb, when the women came to the tomb, the angels of God appeared, and they said this, he's not here. He's risen. And then at his ascension, the angels of God proclaim, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner you've seen him go. Our Lord, manifest in the flesh, justified by all the witnesses of God, and seen and ministered to by heavenly angels. You know what John wrote? He said this, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and all of them cried with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb to receive the sevenfold blessing, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb. That's the message from heaven. That's the word of the angel. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. All right, what's the next one? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles. Is this a mystery? Is this a mystery that the gospel of Christ should be preached to the heathen? To the Gentiles? It certainly is. It certainly is. Yes, sir. God said so. For 4,000 years, the nearest thing to Christ was an angel. And the furthest thing from Christ was a Gentile. That's where even Paul said this. What a miracle, what a mystery that Christ Jesus should be preached to the Gentiles. Peter didn't even want to go see him. He didn't want to preach to him. And the Father said to him, what I've called clean, don't you call anything else but what I've called clean, you don't call it unclean. Yes, sir. Turn with me. You know, one person said this one time. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were eating the Passover. At the same time, the Gentiles were eating each other, devouring each other. That's our record. But turn to Ephesians 2. Let me show you a couple of scriptures here. A mystery, a miracle, that Jesus Christ should be preached to the Gentiles, to you and me. Look at here at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Listen to this. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in your flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ. You didn't have any covenant. You didn't have any hope. You didn't have any gospel. You didn't have any law. You didn't have any sacrifices. Didn't have a tabernacle. Didn't have a prophet. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenant. Without God in this world. But now, listen, now in Christ Jesus, you that were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Mystery. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached to you and me. Let me show you another one. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians 1, verse 25. Listen to this. Paul says this, Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I'm made a minister, according to the stewardship or dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, you Gentiles, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. What mystery? Read that next verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery to you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I tell you, thank God he included us. Thank God he included us. Well, let's go back to that text again. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. God was manifest in the flesh, justified, vindicated in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles. Watch this. And believed on. And believed on in this world. Is this a mystery? That Christ should be believed? The fact that Jesus Christ should be believed on in this world, is that a mystery? Is that a miracle? Yes, sir. That's a miracle. My Father is omnipotent. And that you can't deny. He's a God of might and miracle. It's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to put the moon in place and the sun. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, that took a miracle of his love and grace. When the Son of God became the Son of Man, miracle. But I'm telling you this, when one of you sons of man becomes the Son of God, that does take a miracle. A miracle. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Don't take that lightly. It's a miracle. The mystery of God. Behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Here's my testimony. Here's my testimony to you. And may I speak for you. Being your spokesman right now, let me speak for you. I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and he died for us on the cross of Calvary to redeem us from sin. I believe this more than I believe anything else in this world. I believe this. Don't you? Secondly, I believe that no fact in human history is more certain than the fact that Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I believe that. And I believe the word of God more than I believe any other person. I hear people say, so-and-so said this. Doesn't matter. I believe God. Because by nature, all men are liars. But God is truth. God is truth. I believe the word of God more than I believe any person on this earth. And I'm as sure of the promises of this precious book as I am that I'm talking to you right now. You believe that, don't you? I do. And I have no way to explain this, that I have this faith and you have this faith, except to say it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Write it down now. This is the gift of God. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. It's the gift of God. And the Lord will save whom He will. People are religious by nature. They're saved by grace. I've never seen God. I'm continuing my testimony and I'm speaking for you. I've never seen God, have you? I hear preachers say, God appeared to me. I don't believe that. God said this to me. I don't believe that. God says through the Word. I've never seen God except in creation. I see Him out here in the things He's made. Yeah, I've seen Him in beautiful nature out there, that the things that God has made. I see Him in the love and kindness of His people. I see Him in you. I see other folks. I don't see Him in them. But I see Him in you, His people. I do. I see Him in the love of a mother for a child, son for a daughter, a woman for a son. I see Him in my friends. I see Him in my brothers and sisters. I see God in them. I hear God in them. They speak to me the words of God. I've never heard God speak, have you? Except in His Word. I do hear Him in His Word. I have the words of the Bible, which indeed speak to me. They speak to my heart. They speak to my spirit. They speak to my soul. I hear God speaking through His Word. This is not just words. It's His Word. And I have no signs. Sometimes I wish God would give me some. But that's His business. I say I have no signs except the miracle of grace that actually transforms a child of the devil into a child of God. That actually transforms a wicked man to a believer, a blasphemer to man who praises God. I see it in you, Chris. See it in others out here, right here. Jim Dodson, Lionel. I see God transforming you into His child. It's a miracle of God. Child of the King. That's who you are. Daughters of the King. That's who you are. And I see God in you. I hear God speak in you. I had a friend, Brother... I remember things a long time ago. I forget my friend's name sometimes. But I have a friend that gave an illustration one time. And about an old coal miner up in West Virginia. He big guy, 6'4", 5", and mean as a snake. Like Ernie Ford said, one fist of iron, another of steel. Left one don't get you, the right one will, you know. That's old Big Mike. Everybody call him old Big Mike. Hard as nails. Mean as a snake. Worked in the coal mine. Pushed those old buggies, you know, to take the coal to the temple. The Lord saved that guy. God in mercy, and it took God in mercy to change the life of that rebel. Old Big Mike became Mike, the person that loved Christ. Just changed him over. Just changed him completely. And people started ridiculing him. They would poke at him, trying to get him to curse or swear or hit somebody in the mouth or do something. Just do something. They want to see him lose his religion. But old Big Mike didn't. But they kept on agitating him. And one day a bunch of those men there in the coal mine put the rocks in the way of his buggy, pushing the coal, kept falling off the rails, And he'd stop, walk around, pick the rocks up, put them back. Those fellas snickering, you know, Keep on. They did it one time too many. His face, he pulled himself up to his full height. His face was red as a beet. His fists were doubled up. And he lifted those fists to the sky. And he began to sing, "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Temptations lose their power when thou art near. I need thee." Believe it or not, those fellas hushed. They start singing with him. "I need thee, oh, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee." That happens. God changes a man. He does. He changes. And then here's my last point. He said, God was manifest in the flesh, seen of the angels, justified in the Spirit, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Turn to John 14, where Brother Todd was preaching last time. John 14, verse 1. And he cites these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." What a miracle. What a mystery. What a Savior. What a gospel. What a wonderful congregation. Thank God for you, Brother Pastor.